And the subject, the title of the talk is 9/11, A Whole New World. And I just want to begin by this, that Jimmy Carter was president. And at that time, the Middle East was involved in the potential for a great peace process. At Camp David, which is in northern Maryland, the fiery former terrorist, now Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, met with the president of Egypt, who had earlier, just a few years earlier, had led a war against Israel. And now they met together to sign a peace accord known as the Camp David Peace Accords. And for those of you that were, you know, not only living but somewhat in the adult realm back in the late 1970s, you remember that whole event, and you remember the smiling Jimmy Carter, his trademark smile, with these two former combatants signing a peace process. But two events occurred the following year that were unrelated but that have changed the world ever since. The first event was that radical Islam overthrew the Shah of Iran, who was a Western ally at that time. The insurgents, the Islamic insurgents, occupied the U.S. embassy, held U.S. citizens hostage for quite a long time. And for those of you that remember, the U.S. sent in a rescue team, which was botched in the process. And for the first time in centuries, radical Islam occupied a nation state. That was the first major event. The second event that happened the same year, Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan for the purpose of expanding its power and its territory over that region. And the United States saw it as an opportunity, saw this invasion as an opportunity to exhaust the Soviet Union. So what did the U.S. do? It financed the insurgents, the Afghani insurgents, against the Soviet Union to overthrow them. Afghanistan, of course, is Muslim. But what the United States didn't see was that radical Islamicists used the opportunity to recruit radicals and terrorists from around the world to come into Afghanistan to be trained against the Soviet army. They saw it as a jihad to overthrow the invading Soviet communist state. A number of people came, thousands, and one came who were all well known from Saudi Arabia. His name was Osama bin Laden. The war went on for 8 years. The Soviet Union was defeated and demoralized by a nothing nation. And as a result of that, it helped to cause the collapse of the Soviet Union, because the country went bankrupt as a result of the war and trying to compete with the United States in defense expenditures. The world changed. I still remember the first President Bush getting up shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union and saying, we have a new world order. The whole idea of peace, a major peace, was going to come across the entire country. And at the tail end of that whole process was the first Iraq War. And as a result of the first Iraq War, there was an apparent peacemaking deal even in Israel between the former Israeli military commander, Yitzhak Rabin, now Prime Minister of Israel, and his foe, the terrorist, Yasser Arafat. And this time, instead of a smiling Jimmy Carter, it was a smiling Bill Clinton. And there was great hopes that there was going to be peace in the world and the end of all this mishigas that was going on around the world, especially after the Soviet era. The 1990s looked great. Incredible U.S. prosperity. There was a diversion of military expenditures into the civilian side. The military budget went down vis-a-vis the overall U.S. budget. Money was poured into various civilian activities. Productivity in the United States increased rapidly. That was the time when computers became popular in everyone's homes. The internet took off. The stock market exploded. In fact, I remember just a few years ago, some economists saying, this is the new economy. We've gone beyond the business cycle of the ups and downs. It's a whole new world we've entered into. Problem was, in a very quiet place in the world, in Afghanistan, there was a civil war after the Soviet Union left. And what happened was all of these radicals who had come to fight the Soviet Union started fighting one another. And finally, one small group overcame the others, the most radical of them, known as the Taliban, and they controlled Afghanistan. And with them, with the Taliban's rule, they gave carte blanche to Osama bin Laden to train tens of thousands of terrorists to destroy the Western world. As a result of that, one of the things that happened in 1993 was the first attack against the World Trade Center. Remember, somebody set off a bomb, car bomb, in the basement. Some people were killed. U.S. responded, you know, shot a few weapons after Osama bin Laden's apparent terrorist camps. Not a whole lot happened. The reality was tens of thousands of terrorists were trained. And there we were 3 years ago, just a few hours ago, as we were watching on television, first one and then two airplanes strike the Twin Towers in New York. And we saw it again and again and again. And then we all watched in horror as these massive buildings collapsed and thousands of innocent people perished. Franklin Roosevelt, at the beginning of World War II, said this following the Pearl Harbor attack, December 7, 1941. He says, "This is a day that lives in infamy." And the result of that event was 40 million people killed in the world. And the world changed forever after that particular event. On 9/11, 2001, it's another day that lives in infamy. And the world has changed, but the world is going to change more. 3 years later, following 9/11, those of you that remember, there were prayer meetings all over the country. There was a week of solemnity. Television shows were canceled for the first time in history. And it was shocking. People were seeking God like never before. And 3 years later, where are we? This presidential campaign that's going on right now, what is it focusing on? Whether one candidate was actually in Cambodia in the late 1960s and whether the other candidate flew enough missions for the Air National Guard in 1972. That's what they're battling over. That's what the press highlights. The scripture says this: "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Now, our interpretation of that passage is this: my frustrating daily life means that the devil must be attacking me. It's bumming me out. And at the same time we're thinking that way, the real devil uses fanatics to capture 1,000 people in Russia, mostly children, kills hundreds of them as the world watches. And we watch what happens, and we're sympathetic, and we're a little bit sad, but boy, the devil is still bothering me. My spouse doesn't understand me. My children are misbehaving. Will we have enough money this week to get high-speed internet? Isabel, Gaston, Francis, Charlie, and now Ivan. Signs of the times? Yes. And they're terrible. But what if a dirty bomb goes off somewhere? How does that relate to a hurricane? This is what Yeshua said: nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all of these things are the beginning of the birth pains. Why am I talking like this today? I hate to say this, folks, but we live in a self-absorbed society. And our faith, which can help to change the world, is self-absorbed as we're concerned about tiny, small things compared to the big things. Now look, I think those of you that know me, you know I'm not a naysayer. I'm not a doomsday spokesman. I don't think that way. But all I know is this: we're entering a new year, Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday night. The themes of Rosh Hashanah is this: God is king, judgment, and repentance. Those are the three themes of Rosh Hashanah. Here's my question. Are you ready to meet the King? That's the question. Remember Yeshua's story. There's a story that Yeshua tells about a man who goes on a journey. And he has three servants. And he gives the servants some money. And two of the servants take that money. They use it wisely. They reproduce what was given to them. And they are very productive. The third one takes it, hides it away. Man comes back, checks out what the servants have done. First two show that he reproduced. He commends them and rewards them. The third one who says, oh, no, I didn't do anything with it. He takes that from him, gives it to the other people. Now, here's it. Here's the issue. What about you and me? Each of you is a gift of God. You are a gift of the Lord. The scripture says that you were created for good works in the Messiah. But are you using God's gifts for his glory? Or are they being wasted away? The question is, well, how can I be used for his glory? How can I make a difference in this world? You see, God called us to live a life of sacrifice. Yeshua says this, if you follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. The walk with God is a sacrificial life. What kind of sacrifice are we talking about? I'm talking about the sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of our talents, and the sacrifice of our money to be used to really make a difference in this world. Let me challenge you with some things here for time. The new year, we always begin it with prayer. We have our Rosh Hashanah services, Wednesday night and Thursday. But then, during each of the days of awe, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have prayer meetings every night to pray for specific things, the calling that this congregation has for the rest of the world. Yeshua instructs us to pray. He said, and this is how he tells us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, what he's saying is if you want the rulership of God to come onto the earth as it is in heaven, you've got to pray for it first. And you know how the power of Islamic fundamentalism is going to be destroyed? It's going to be destroyed first through prayer. That's where it starts. Then everything else comes after that. Finally, after the 9/11 Commission, after 3 years, finally recognizes that we're not just dealing with terrorism, but we're dealing with radical, fundamental Islamicism. It's a spiritual problem that needs to be dealt with spiritually. Are we going to awake and deal with this or not? In addition to the days of awe, beginning last week and for now into the foreseeable future, on Friday nights, each Chavurah group is taking time to pray, coming here to pray for the congregation, to pray for the works that go on here and throughout, that make some changes. Monday nights, we have intercessory prayer meeting that's been going on for years. We're going to be joining, there's a move afoot in the United States, beginning at Yom Kippur to the day of the election, 40 days of fasting and prayer. We're participating in that work, to join with them. And interestingly, the church, when they counted 40 days back from the election day, you know what day it fell on? Yom Kippur. They're starting on Yom Kippur. And they've asked us, not just us, Tikvat Israel, but the Messianic Jewish movement to be involved with them, to help them and to instruct them. And we have. That's how we can give of our time, in part. Secondly, is our talents and our time together. Folks, we're a congregation of 200, 250, whatever it is. As you heard Mike earlier say, there's a lot of needs here. Obviously, some of it can be met financially, but a lot of it can be met by labor. You know, putting the hand to the plow, so to speak. Tomorrow, we have a cleanup day. We have needs at Sukkot. As you heard Paul describe, there's a lot of needs. People can be doing things. It's one of our biggest outreaches of the entire year. We have committees and ministries that are in the entranceways, a whole list of them. Participate. Give of yourself. Give of your time to serve the Lord, to make a difference instead of wasting our time. Then finally, giving. It means See, in every realm, the Lord's asking for sacrifice. That includes giving. We need to learn how to sow into a real future, invest into a real future. I believe very strongly in investments, retirement planning, estate planning, financial planning. I believe in all of that, absolutely. But we also need to learn how to use our money to make a difference in the world. There's tons of needs, as you've heard described, the building, the sound system, our outreach, which affects the whole Richmond area, our ministries, which affect the entire world. These are the things that are necessary. Without the support, we can't do it. Let me tell you this in closing. 9/11 showed there's a whole new world. And I want to close this with a story about Jonah. Jonah is interestingly read during Yom Kippur. And let me tell you a little bit of story about it. You remember this story. It's a very, very beginning part of the book. He's asked of the Lord to do something, and he begins to run from God. And he boards a ship to escape from the Lord, and the ship is hit by a tremendous storm. And the captain finds Jonah sleeping while the ship's existence is at stake. And this is what the captain says to Jonah. Listen carefully. "What are you doing, O sleeper? Arise! Call upon your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." And I say to you, arise, O sleeper. Wake up, and let's serve the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Lord, this is a difficult day, Lord, a day of sadness, a day of memory. And Lord, but we don't want to just dwell on what happened, but Lord, to recognize that the devil is about prowling around, literally seeking to devour us and most of society. And Lord, you've called us for such a time as this, to rise up, to respond, to stand for the truth, and to see goodness prevail in this world, O God. Father, we want to be right with you because we know that's the only way it can make a difference. Lord, we want to live the kind of life that Yeshua lived, a sacrificial life, Lord. We remember our forebears in World War II, Lord, where everybody in society sacrificed for the greater cause. Lord, we want to do that today as well. We want to sacrifice for the greater cause to repel this enemy attack against us, oh God. Father, we repent for laziness, shallowness, worldliness, materialism. And Father, we want to be restored fully to you, to be used of you, to make a difference, oh God. Father, have mercy on our souls. And Father, change our lives. Lord, prepare us for the high holidays. Let this year really be a different year, oh God. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward. The bookstore will be open. We have Oneg downstairs, and we're going to need help at Oneg because the peninsula people aren't able to be here today. So we're going to need help. And there's not a lot of food either, but anyway, we'll need that. And let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha, yareh Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God.